Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging Word with us today. We have a group discussion today. Let's get started.
I'd like us to discuss right now, what do you conceive of when you hear the phrase, a mature mind? Now, the mature body is something that pretty much comes because we're eating and sleeping and exercising, keeping clean. We grow up. We grow older, too. The mature mind, it's possible to be an old fool as well as a young fool. What is the mature mind?
A mind capable of discerning, a mind open to all God's truth, to new truth, a mind shaped through obedience. Three things. Gary, I'm sure you've got 10 more.
No. I think this is a good beginning for a book, Elizabeth. I wish you'd work on this. A mind that is capable of discerning, a mind that's open to truth, including new truth, and a mind that is shaped by obedience. Gary, you want to add to that?
Well, I think the metaphor that you made of comparing your body and what you put into it, what you feed it, again, I think that is so critical. Every day, throughout the day, our minds are being bombarded by information.
And we have to say no?
Exactly. And there is a choice. God, in His sovereignty, has given us the ability, the privilege, the responsibility to choose.
Ministry.
The ministry, yes, of choosing, of selecting, of what we will attend to, what we will pay attention to, and what we will plant the seeds in our, you know, in our minds. And so I think what we put into our mind, how we exercise our mind, do we use our mind, and through the time and the Word and discipline, I think it's interesting that I've had many people have said, you know, I used to have a quiet time, but I just didn't feel like it, and so I quit having it. And
that's when you need it the most.
Well, exactly. My response is that's an alarm clock for me. When I don't feel like, when I don't desire time with the Lord, flags go up, lights start to flash, bells and whistles, something is wrong. That's the time when I need to go to the Word, to go in prayer, to go to a brother and talk with someone to pray with. It's just the opposite response. So I think exercising our mind, what we put into it, what we fix or focus our mind upon it. What is it? Colossians 3:2.
I'm just thinking of those verses.
Set your mind. That's a choice. It doesn't automatically happen. And if you will, the channel of our mind can get changed. But set your mind, because what we focus and dwell on, eventually we will do. I came across a couple of years ago, a quote, I don't know the source, but I'd like to just share it with you briefly. We have never said or done an ungracious or unchristlike word or action, which was not first an ungracious or unchristlike thought. We have never felt dislike or hate for a person without first of all thinking thoughts of dislike, which have grown into hate. We have never committed a visible act of sin which shamed us before others, and I might add shamed our Lord, which was not first a shameful thought. We have never wronged another person without first wronging them in our thoughts. What we habitually think will sooner or later manifest itself clearly in some visible expression of that thought. Set your mind on things above. Simple, but not always easy.
It would be interesting sometime to discuss metaphors of the mind. For example, if you thought of your mind as a computer, garbage in, garbage out, of course. But it's not just a computer. It's not that predictable. I don't think any one metaphor covers everything. But a mature mind belongs to a person who says, I will not permit poison to get into my mind. Sherlock Holmes said that in one of his stories, the mind is like an attic. He said, I refuse to fill my attic up with a lot of old junk. I want to leave room for something good. I think there's a lot of truth to that. Elizabeth?
Well, Jesus said that it's not what goes into the body that defiles us, it's what comes out. And it is whatever we do with that thought, as you used Luther's metaphor about the birds flying over your head. You really can't, you cannot prevent a thought from entering, but we are totally responsible for what we do with that thought.
Let's look at it this way now going further. If I have a mature mind, it will show up in certain actions. As he thinks, so he is. For example, it would seem to me if I have a mature mind, I'm willing to listen. Otherwise, I can't learn the new truth you're talking about. If I have a mature mind, I'm willing to have to get into problems where I must exercise some discernment. A mature mind would not then be an escapist mind. Am I moving in the right direction, Gary?
Yeah, and I'd like to, Elizabeth, add on to what you said. I think that's so important that we can't control the thoughts that enter our mind totally. I can't always control what I feel. I can, with God's help, control how long I feel it. I can't always control what comes into my mind, but I can control how long it stays there. And I've found many Christians, and there may be some listeners who get discouraged because they've spent time in the Word and in prayer, they're memorizing Scripture, they're reading good books, they're doing the quote-unquote right things, but they still find at times through prayer or as they're sharing, things come into their mind. That is part of the warfare. That's part of the battle.
Taking the shield of faith.
Exactly.
To put out the fiery darts of the wicked.
But it doesn't mean that they are out of fellowship. It doesn't mean that they have failed. It doesn't mean that they're not saved because there's warfare. In fact, warfare is a fairly healthy sign.
Shows you're alive.
Exactly. It's one of life's vital signs.
Mr. Spurgeon used to say, the devil never kicks a dead horse, which is, I don't like to be compared to a horse, but it's a good metaphor there. Elizabeth?
Back to that passage in 2 Corinthians 10 that was quoted some time ago, we demolish sophistries and all that rears its proud head against the knowledge of God. We wouldn't have to wield these weapons unless we had to confront that enemy.
That's right. And it's interesting to note that knowledge by itself will puff you up. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 8. But love builds you up. And we express love by what we do to others. Therefore, there's where the obedience comes back in again. I meet a lot of Christians, including some people in ministry, their heads are full, their hearts are cold. The Emmaus disciples said, did not our hearts burn within us? And we should not make a choice. I don't want to have a burning heart and a dumb head. Neither do I want to be so knowledgeable, but nobody can get along with me. Gary?
One of the things that God's taught me, again, over the years that I'm grateful for is that maturity is not merely the accumulation of more information. I used to believe that I've just had more knowledge if I could go to seminary and learn Greek and Hebrew, and I thank God for that opportunity and for knowing those languages.
And
if
that
I
you
could,
got through.
That's right, that I passed, and that is an example of grace. That if I could understand, quote-unquote, the deeper things of the Word, that my life would be different. I found, at least in my life, it's not really, if you will, the deeper things of the Word. It's the basics. It's the
right
kinds of things that we are talking about here. At the risk of being repetitive, it's the simple things that, because of their simplicity, we sometimes say, well, because they're so simple, they're not important. And Warren, I wanted to ask you, talking about guarding our minds, you've walked with the Lord for many years. What do you do to garrison your mind, to guard your mind?
It's the Word of God. I find if I do not begin my day with the Word of God in prayer and worship and come away from that experience, not always feeling good, but come away from that experience at least happy with the will of God. I find if I come away from my quiet time upset about something or resisting something, I've wasted my time. I have to come away saying, all right, Lord, this is what you've called me to do. I'm going to obey it. I'll do what you want me to do. If I don't do that, I cannot defeat the enemy. And then during the day, I've just got to watch for those birds that can come circling around your head. It's what you've talked about, the discernment of the Holy Spirit. It's a battle. And if anyone thinks that the longer we walk with the Lord, the easier it gets, they are wrong. It becomes much more subtle. I don't know if you've had that experience or not, Elizabeth.
It's an old hymn that says, they who fain would serve him best are conscious most of wrong within. And my old teacher, Bible teacher, Mr. L.E. Maxwell at Prairie Bible Institute in Alberta, used to say that the deeper you lower the lantern into the cistern of your heart, the slimier are the creatures that are revealed.
I can hear him say that. Well, we have to accept ourselves, and we have to accept others. There's a Chinese proverb that says, allow each of your friends to have three faults. You may get along
very
a
generous.
Little.
Generous.
What is
generous?
Very generous. Peter was willing for seven, wasn't he? We have to learn to accept others and learn from them. And the person who may be the most abrasive in my life may teach me the most.
That's where what we're talking about, I think, again, is so important, that we are made in God's image. And the person who we love the least, who seems the least likely to be one described as made in God's image, is one for whom Christ died. And that has very practical, concrete, here and now immediate implications in terms of how I choose to talk with them, respond to them, be available for Christ to love them through me. Easier said than done.
By the Holy Spirit's help, it can be done. Which means, as we draw our discussion to a close, which means I must be careful not to have an unforgiving spirit. If that gets into my mind, it's going to control me. And people who perhaps have hurt me will be running my life.
And I think that this is where the physical can be deeply affected. I've heard it said now that doctors are discovering that anger and resentment are among the most destructive things in a physical body. And Hebrews 12 teaches us that, doesn't it? That
absolutely.
The root of bitterness, which is allowed to grow up, will poison your life and the life of everyone you ever touch.
So there has to be forgiveness. That's a part of the mature mind to say, well, I forgive you. Not carrying grudges, being kind to one another and tender-hearted and forgiving one another. Well, I appreciate so much your sharing. I think we could keep on going for a long time, and perhaps again we shall. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.